Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It demands accountability and responsibility from everyone. It provides certainty to everybody, from bankers to farmers to business owners to consumers. And unless your business model depends on cutting corners or bilking your customers, you've got nothing to fear from reform.
President Obama, 1 year ago tomorrow, signing the massive Dodd-Frank financial reform bill. You heard the president tell banks that they've got nothing to fear from reform. And in a bit, I will read you a list of lobbying efforts and bills looking to repeal parts of it. So they fear something. And here we are, 1 year later. It's July. It's Wednesday. It's about 12 minutes to 11. So we continue our weekly series with Robin Farzad of Bloomberg Business Week each Wednesday this month. Robin looking at one Obama administration economic program and asking the question, did it work? And today it is a doozy. Very succinctly, Dodd-Frank, Robin Farzad, did it work?
To be determined. This thing is way too massive and it's way too in progress for us to be able to look back and say with any amount of certainty that it's been a success. But certainly it's one of the more polarizing things out there in an already polarized environment.
I wonder if we have anybody listening right now who works on Wall Street or in any other bank that comes under new Dodd-Frank rules and wants to call in and tell us what's the buzz in your workplace about what this is actually going to do. Is it going to make things safer? Is it going to build not just a more ethical but a more risk-proof, more safe from calamity foundation for the industry, for the country going forward? Or is this going to tie you all up in regulatory knots that are unnecessary in your own opinion? What's the buzz in your workplace? What's your own judgment? If you work in the industry, or even if you did work in the industry and don't any longer, 212-433-WNYC. But this is a short-ish segment, so get your calls right in. We'll put you right on, 212-433-WNYC. Dodd-Frank affects if you're close to it professionally. By the way, Robin, pop quiz. Do you know the actual full name of the Dodd-Frank bill?
No. Hit me. What is it?
It is the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act.
I mean, that only reminds me. I have a cheat sheet in front of me, and it's almost – this feels so, you know, Soviet Union 1980. It's like Moscow on the Hudson. Not only Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, but Financial Stability Oversight Council, eligible contract participants. You really need a program to just keep up with a tenth of these regulations.
16 individual sections outlined within the bill. And let's try to tackle those two sides a little bit, Wall Street reform and consumer protection. Wall Street reform. Here's President Obama talking about the goal of the bill. This is from when he first proposed it 2 years ago.
No longer will we have companies that are, quote unquote, too big to fail.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, gosh. I mean, in real time right now, I mean, I don't want to yell fire in a crowded movie theater, but Bank of America is being confronted with these very questions. Its stock price has been in a swoon. It's writing down even more bad mortgages. And this Financial Stability Oversight Council, which is supposed to intervene and flag systemic risk and provide for an orderly demolition of a too-big-to-fail company, has hardly been heard from. I mean, if anything, you know, we've talked about this before, Brian, these firms are even too bigger to fail right now.
Right, because the ones that went out of business are gone. Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns.
And the other ones consolidated the rest.
Consolidated. Washington Mutual got absorbed by somebody. Merrill Lynch got absorbed by somebody, et cetera, et cetera. So there are fewer and bigger banks at the top of the finance sector right now. If you think back to a year ago, one of the big conversations taking place around this bill was over the so-called Volcker Rule. This is in Title VI, to be specific, also known as the Bank and Savings Association Holding Company and Depository Institution Regulatory Improvement Act of 2010.
Oh, boy.
Of course, I memorized all of this, right? I don't have this written in front of me. But basically, the Volcker Rule says if you're a bank that deals with the public, you cannot also be a bank that engages in the kind of risky speculation that a hedge fund might take on. Hotly disputed. Has the Volcker Rule taken root?
It hasn't even been implemented yet. I mean, there's still a comment period. Let's go back and look at this cyclically. After the Great Depression and the crash of 29, you had Glass-Steagall, which was popular for a generation, which was then dismantled during the big tech boom here in the United States, where Wall Street is like, you know, risk is overrated. You can trust us. You don't have to put on these 1930-era kind of restraints on us. This then was a repudiation of that. I mean, because obviously Wall Street went too far. It took on huge amounts of risk. It very frequently dabbled between, you know, its own account and its commitment to investors, and that Chinese wall wasn't there. So this attempts to erect it in the day and age of hedge funds and a huge amount of opacity. And so it's not so easy just to flick on a switch and say, okay, Volcker rule, because the devil is in the details. Proprietary trading happens in all these other nooks and crannies on Wall Street.
Another controversial element, derivative reform. You will have to explain this a little more to us, but the gist of it is that over-the-counter swaps, which are the sorts of complicated financial instruments that got us in trouble in 2007, 2008, CDOs, etc., now have to go through a clearinghouse. Is this like the commissioner of baseball having to improve any trade to make sure it's good for the league?
I mean, no, isn't it necessary? I mean, throw them a bone on this one at least. ECPs, eligible contract participants. I mean, unless you're okay with speculators coming in and kind of, you know, with naked shorts and betting down the price of oil or betting up the price of oil, this at least ensures that qualified necessary participants out there. Think Southwest Airlines wants to hedge the cost of fuel. Think about a cereal company and grain prices and whatnot. That they're legitimate players. They're not these fly-by-night people who are going to take on, you know, 50-to-1 leverage just to turn a buck or two overnight.
Big picture, what's next for Dodd-Frank? You're talking about all these elements that are just now being implemented, and that's why there's still so much of a battle taking place over it, because the law is one thing. The actual rulemaking to implement the law still requires a lot of judgment on the part of regulators, so the banks can get in there and fight these rules as they're being made, even though the law has been passed and is on the books. So at the risk of depressing every single one of our listeners, take a listen to this list. 24 bills are currently in Congress that seek to dismantle parts of the Dodd-Frank Act. Banking and business lobbyists have spent more than $50 million this year to try to change the law. And it's not just opponents who are dropping the ball. In April, federal financial agencies missed every single rulemaking deadline, 26 of them mandated by Dodd-Frank. This summer, there are 108 rulemaking deadlines. Very few of them have been met. Is this a slow rollout, or is it a death by a thousand cuts?
I think it's much more of the latter, and in fact, a war of attrition. You have opponents of Dodd-Frank thinking that this has so many thousands of tentacles that they could attempt to take it on. They know that implementation won't be done in earnest or in full over maybe even 5 years. So there is this ability to ride out several electoral cycles. What if the Republicans, opponents, Chamber of Commerce people in the Tea Party gain seats in 2012? It's going to have even less of a chance of passing. Right now, ground zero for the fight, frankly, is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was really the brainchild of Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, you've said in your show previously, has been a huge lightning rod for people on Wall Street and the banking industry. There are many members of the House and Senate that say that they are not going to sign off on Obama's nominee. And it's kind of a catch-22. This is kind of a headless organization right now, and people are saying that, how are you going to have all these rules if it doesn't have a director, and yet we are not going to sign off on your approved, signed-off director.
Jay in Rockland County, you work on Dodd-Frank in some way?
Yes, I do, sir.
Thank you so much for calling.
I'm basically involved with one of the major banks in implementing one aspect of Dodd-Frank. As the prior gentleman pointed out, Dodd-Frank bill is tremendously large, a lot of implications. And in answer to your question regarding, you know, how do the banks, what's the feeling on the ground, I know specifically for one of the implementations that we're doing around what's known as the legal entity ID, that the banks know that they should have implemented this a long time ago. From a risk management perspective, what legal entity ID is about is who's the ultimate parent when you're involved in a contract with another party. So, for example, when I had a deal, you know, the days before Lehman went under, if I had a deal with a Lehman subsidiary, who is the ultimate parent and the ultimate obligator of that contract? All right, so in answer to your question, I think the banks know that certain aspects of the Dodd-Frank bill have to be implemented, should have been implemented a while back. I'm sure there's a lot of things that won't get implemented just because of just, you know, it's too much regulation, but certainly some aspects will get implemented are underway right now.
Robin, we have a minute left. You want to ask Jay anything from his vantage point on the ground at a bank?
Well, Jay, bankers are complaining to me about this specific provision of that they have to, if they're going to securitize mortgages, that they have to eat some of their own cooking and take it on their balance sheets. That this is going to force them to be much more careful in terms of the loans that they push out. Is that a complaint?
You know, I'm not involved, so I really can't see that. I mean, I'm just working right now on just a legal entity. I'm not really involved on that aspect of it, so I couldn't really answer that question fairly.
Thank you very much. Ryan in Jersey City, we have literally 15 seconds for you. You work in trading?
I work in equities.
Do your best. Sorry we're so short.
Yeah, I mean, just to be brief, I think, particularly making credit default swaps clear an official clearing agency makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, you know, a lot of the regulation changes that they've made over the past year, whether it's in equities or elsewhere, are sort of overcomplicating things.
And that's how a lot of people on the street feel. I think we heard that from both of our callers, that sort of balance. Robin Farzad from Bloomberg Business Week will join us again next Wednesday to look at another Obama recovery program and ask, did it work? Do we know which one yet?
We don't know yet. We'll know Tuesday.
We'll huddle. Talk to you next
Wednesday.
Thank you, Brian. Brian Lehrer, WNYC.